like to ask you to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. Mark's finishing 1 Timothy 6 today. And so we're going to have just a short confession over three verses here and three in Matthew 6. So you might want to find Matthew 6 and stick your finger there as well. Kind of a similar theme in each of these small passages, but really rich in meaty, I think. Matthew Henry says that as the rich, and I imagine that would be pretty much all of us, certainly in compared to the rest of the folks in this world, we are to do two things. Beware of the temptations and improve the opportunities. That we are to be aware of the temptations and improve the opportunities. I'd like to work through these three verses, starting in verse 17. 1 Timothy 6, 17. As for the rich in this present age, charge them, number one, not to be haughty. So we aren't to be proud of our position or of our riches, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God. So number two, number one, we're not to be haughty or proud about this. And number two, we're to be reminded that they are uncertain. We're not to put our hope in those things, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. So number three, we need to remember, I think, and maybe our question should be, do we remember that it's God who provided? We can't really take pride in this because it hasn't been our doing to gain these riches, even though it may seem like it. And then God has provided us with everything to enjoy. I don't know how to think through this exactly. Certainly, we are to enjoy God and all the blessings that he's given us. And it's hard to say sometimes, are we really enjoying God for who he is or for just the things that he's given us? And that's kind of an interesting thing to maybe think through and pray through there. But we are seeing that what God has given us, we are to enjoy, and we are to enjoy him for his glory. They are to do, listen to these four things that we're to do. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous, and ready to share. And so those are the four things that we're to do because we're rich, thus storing up treasures for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life. So I think truly to enjoy these things, we have to be generous with them and to be ready to share them. And when we do that, we store up treasures in heaven. We can see from Matthew 6, that we'll turn to in a second, that that's what Jesus commands us to do. But you might remember in a parable, he also says that it is not the abundance of our possessions that is truly life. This is truly life. You see those last two words in verse 19. That we may take hold of what's truly life. That's storing up treasures in heaven and not for ourselves. Now, I think that we can know from John 10:10 that Satan comes to kill and steal and destroy, but Jesus has come to give us life, and to give us what? To give it to us more abundantly. So I wonder if Satan, maybe a question that we could have as we head to confession, does Satan try to sneak in and steal some of that enjoyment that we should get from our things by making them about us instead of making us willing to share those or to be generous with those, which is truly life? Because man's life does not consist of the abundance of our possessions. We could think those who have the most toys truly don't win, or however the bumper sticker goes. Matthew 6, turn to Matthew 6 and verse 19. And Jesus gives us a very, very clear and convicting teaching, I think, on what we're to do with all that we have, all that he has given us. Verse 19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. So don't you love it? Jesus does not say not to store up. He just says don't store up in the wrong place. Don't store up down here. but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Think with an eternal perspective. Live with an eternal perspective. Invest with an eternal perspective. And then verse 21, pretty convicting. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. As we go to the Lord, I think that's the question at hand. Where is your treasure? And wherever your treasure is, that's where your heart is. So where's your heart? Where's your heart? And work backwards then to say, if my heart is in my, all about my things or my money or my stuff, then we are maybe not really storing up treasures in heaven like we ought. So let's think where our treasure is as we go before the Lord, let's confess if that treasure is not solely in things above. Let's pray. Gracious Father, you have, out of the overflow of your grace, given us one blessing after another. Certainly the Lord Jesus and along with him have graciously given us all things, all we need for life and godliness, all we need to grow, every spiritual blessing, to know you, to serve you, to live for you. And then, Lord, along with that, you have given us one material blessing after another. And, Lord, some of those have tempted us in a way that's been harmful to our souls. And Lord, I would confess that. I would confess that in my life, and I would confess that corporately, that oftentimes we have stored up for ourselves treasures in heaven. We have had a love for money. We have had a desire to get rich that have plunged us into many harmful things. And so I ask, Lord, that you would forgive us for those things, and we confess those before you, knowing that you can change our hearts, and you will change our hearts, and you will help us to store up for ourselves not things down here, but to store up for ourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. And we're so grateful for that opportunity, Lord. Thank you that the Lord Jesus came to rescue us from the penalty of sin and from the power of sin and from the presence of sin and from being slaves to sin, where now we can instead invest these lives, these short lives, for eternity. We pray that we would think with an eternal perspective and that you would forgive us when we become temporary in our thinking, and help us to remember that our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what's seen, but on what's unseen, to remember that what's seen is temporary and what's unseen is eternal. Help us to fix our eyes and our hearts and our treasure and our minds on things that are not seen. Help us to live by faith and not by sight. And forgive us, Father, when we have wronged you in this way. Thank you that there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, and that the Lord Jesus went to the cross to free us from this and every sin and temptation that we have. I pray that we would obey what you have told us to do in your word by storing up treasures in heaven, in Jesus' name.